Welcome to the Dad Experience. I'm one of your hosts, Adam Busatel. Some exciting things going on here at the Dad Experience. Many of you listened to our last episode, the second episode, Staying Home with Dad and Matt Dzinski. Well, after that episode, we had such a good dynamic and a good time together on the show and creating the show that I asked Matt to come and join me as a co-host. So from here out, we're going to kind of have him and I co-hosting and bringing different people on and sharing experiences and continue to share our experiences about our own family. So welcome, Matt, to the co-hosting of the Dad Experience with me.
Thank
I'm really
you.
Excited.
Thanks for having me. It'll be
no
good.
No problem.
I'm excited.
So today on our third episode, we are really excited to bring to you a friend of mine from where I teach and very involved with his family at home. He's also involved with students at school. We have Gary Scope, who is a football coach, but more importantly, a dad of three children. He's got a daughter and two twins at home, and I'm going to let him kind of tell you a little bit about it. So welcome, Gary, and why don't you tell us a little bit about your family makeup?
Thanks for having me. I have a four-year-old daughter. Her name's Lily. She's a spunky kid. She's very tall for her age, big girl. And then we have year-and-a-half-year-old boy-girl twins, which is a whole unique challenge in itself.
I can't even imagine.
It's been an interesting year and a half. It's always something new every day.
Yeah.
Not something I experienced with that first one go around. The first one seemed pretty easy compared to this now. I mean, it's definitely different.
Yeah, I've heard that, you know, to go from one child to two child can be challenging, but when you go from two to three, it's not that big a deal, I've heard. But you're going from one to three, so that must have been pretty, I don't want to say traumatic, but kind of a culture shock or...
That definitely adjustment. I mean, it's, you know, going from that one, you know, everything's good, everything's focused on her, to all of a sudden you got twins. Now, you know, your entire focus is the two babies, because it's always somebody needs to be changed, somebody needs to eat, somebody's crying, you know, and the four-year-old kind of gets left to the side, so it's trying to find ways to incorporate that. It was definitely an adjustment as far as just the way life ran in general.
And a little bit kind of going into that, Gary, is that how does it work? I know you work full-time.
Yep.
You're a football coach.
Yep.
You also work at the school as, what is your official title now?
I'm a ninth grade transitional specialist coordinator, whole big long title.
So you have full-time gig at school between coaching and doing the transition thing, and then you have the full-time job at home. What's the makeup there between you and your wife? How does that work?
My wife is a absolute superstar. She knew going in before she married me that, you know, I spent a lot of time coaching. She's on board. She's at every game. I mean, without her, she's just the anchor of our family. There's no way possible I'd be able to do what I do without her and her blessing to let me do what I do.
You know, does she work too?
She works 2 days a week. My friend owns a law firm. She's like a secretary for them. So on days she's working, you know, my mom kind of steps in.
Okay.
Does the kind of Grammy thing for the day. And, you know, it's good for her to get out of the house because she'd go absolutely nuts.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, that's gotta be busy.
But for the most part, you kind of have that anchor at home.
Oh, yeah. She's 100%. I mean, she's making sure everything's running right. Her schedules are good, that, you know, everything's on track. You know, without her, there's no way I could do what I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's got to be crazy. I mean, and then I can't imagine. I mean, I'm tired. I have one child at home right now. It's an infant at home. And I work all day, and both my wife and I work all day. And then coming home, and I'm exhausted. I can't imagine on those days, especially when you're both working on those days, how it is when you get home. Like, when do you get sleep?
We got really lucky with these two. They sleep like champs. You know, when they were young, they alternate crying and it's just trying to get them on a schedule. Once we got that schedule locked in, they'll sleep 10, 12 hours most nights.
Wow.
The funny thing with them, they cannot sleep if they're apart. So if you put one down, the other one's got to be in that room because they will not, you know, they will not settle down until they're together.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really, really different. But we got really blessed having, you know, really three good sleepers.
So they definitely have that unique twin bond that you always hear about.
Oh, 100%. They wake up from naps. They spend 15, 20 minutes just talking to each other, laughing. it's still just kind of, you know, gibberish in there. But, you know, they make each other laugh. They bond. They're starting to hold hands more when they see each other after being in separate rooms. They'll hug.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's definitely a connection. Neat. Yeah.
Do they sleep in the same crib or different beds? Or?
We have two cribs in the same bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as they get older, we'll move the two girls together. But right now, they're sharing them. The cribs are a couple feet apart, so they can see each other. We tried playing around with different configurations, but they definitely had to see each other, know each other's there.
Huh, that's really cool.
That is interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of comforting for them.
Yeah.
So let's, you know, maybe we can start here a little bit, too, is let's go back to the first child. Like, how long, like, were you guys married a while? I mean, how did that kind of all happen?
Yeah, we'll be married 8 years coming up here in 7 or 8 years. I should know this, but we're probably getting in trouble. Coming up in May is our anniversary.
We'll edit that out.
Yeah, it's fine. She knows it by now. The only reason I know her anniversary because it's on a plaque in her bathroom.
But it's a good place to have it to remember, though, right?
Yeah, it reminds me when I need it. Yeah. But, we got married. We waited a little bit after to start having kids. We started talking about it. She was on board. I drove my feet a little bit, you know, and it was just...
Why do you think you drug your feet a little bit? It was just making that life change that was a little nerve-wracking? You didn't want to give up your freedom? Or she's fear there?
Yeah, she's younger than I am, so, you know, I was just, hey, this is what I know, this is what I did. It was a little bit selfish, you know, putting a lot of hours into coaching and just kind of, you know, not having a truly stable job yet, doing a lot of bouncing, stuff like that. So it was always, you know, you never knew where money was coming in, just that fear, like... You know,
fear of being able to provide how you wanted to.
Exactly. What I had in my mind, it wasn't ready yet. And then, you know, she finally said, it's never going to be right. Just do it.
I hear that.
How old were you when you had your first child?
So she's 4, turning 5, so I was 34.
Okay.
Yep. Okay.
34, 35, right in that area. All right. So a little bit later.
A little bit younger than me, but yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah, I know. So we got to start somewhere, right?
Oh, yeah.
So. Yeah, and I did find that it is interesting with planning a family. Like, we all have that image of fatherhood, of what we wanted or hope to be, and, you know, you don't want to do it till you're ready because of, you know, you want to make a certain amount of money, you want to have a certain house, and like your wife said, it's, you know, it's probably never going to be that ideal in your head, so... Why wait?
Definitely. And she knows me. I'm always that overachiever. I want things to just be perfect. And she just put her foot down and said, you know, it's time to go.
Yeah.
Good. So. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot of, I think, males, and I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, like, even me, like, it's not that I didn't want to have children. It was just like, I want to be married a while. And I think it's that instinct of, and I don't know why it has to be, but I think sometimes, and you guys can maybe disagree, but it's that instinct of how am I going to make sure that it's gonna work. Like, and I don't know, maybe that's just the personality I have too, but it's like, I need to be able to know that I can provide and have a good place for everybody and not just bring a child into the world and not be able to have it be, not that I knew where I wanted it to be, but have it be where I, you know,
you
have the kid
struggle.
have everything that I want them to have, at least what I had when I was a child, if not more. I know, I think I can say that for most people, is you want more than what you had, right?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, that sounds exactly the thought process we're going through.
So, I mean, that's what I struggled with too. You know, but, you know, I even got married later in life, but, and I think that's becoming more of the norm. I don't know. I see it a lot more and more younger
people getting married after
homes, after careers. And maybe that's always been there. Maybe that's just me being naive, but I don't know. I feel like it's happening more and more lately. So it's very interesting.
I definitely see it with my friend group. You know, it's, you know, my friends are popping out kids pretty quick. Now it's, you know, finish school, find a career, you know, take me time for a while.
Yeah. So going back, do you want to talk a little bit about the birthing process, or do you want to go into that a little bit?
Yeah, I was curious. You know, we always hear about the birth story from the woman's perspective. You know, it's a very empowering, or can be empowering, experience for them. But I feel it's an equally important experience for fathers. And so I thought we could start, you know, there from with your experience of either birth or before, whatever, you know, how did you feel about that process? Were you included or not? Or, you know, that moment where you became a father, what was like that for you?
It was scary. I mean, we're sitting there and everything's good. She went into labor. I was on my way to work. I looked at my phone as I pulled in a lot. I had 17 missed calls from her in the 5 minutes of my drive.
Yeah.
Her water broke. We came back, took her in. And it was a lot of wait period, and all of a sudden, like 15 doctors and nurses came running into the room, like just panicked, looked on their face, pushing me aside, pushing everybody away. The baby's heart rate dropped to like 30, and it was almost nothing. So real, wow. You know, real panicky, and nobody could tell me what was going on. So just me being me, just really up, trying to get questions answered, but still getting pushed back. So she got rushed into the emergency C-section.
Okay.
And, you know, things, I started calming down a little bit because I could understand this is for the baby. We got to get it out now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take care of everything. So it helped me kind of relax a little bit, but still that unknown, like, this is the point. This is, it's going to be it. You know, and being able to sit with her and talk to her while she's having the C-section, it was very different because they got the big curtain up, so I couldn't see. Mm-hmm. Anything going on the other side, just a lot of pulling, tugging, watching her.
Uh-huh.
You know, she got pretty sick from the anesthesia. So just trying to comfort her as much as we could.
Right.
You know, and still not knowing what's on the other side. And then the doctor said, do you want to see your daughter? And
at that point, did you know you were having a daughter?
Yeah, okay. We found her early. I'm very impatient, so I couldn't.
Yeah, I wanted to know,
well,
too.
We found out after, too, and we weren't going to, but we found out, too, so I think that's a...
I don't have the patience for that. And he said, do you want to see your daughter? And I'm like, sure. And he says, okay, stand up. So I stood up, and as he was pulling the baby out of the stomach, she defecated right into my wife.
Oh, no.
And the full glory of me seeing all my wife's, you know, guts and intestines and everything laying there watching the baby,
wow.
You know, just poop right into her stomach. I mean, like,
wow.
Welcome to the world.
Oh, wow.
So, I couldn't help but laugh, and her doctor was awesome. He was just cracking jokes. And
so is that, like, a story that's kind of, like, lasted?
Oh, yeah. It's
how many people get to say, I took a dump inside?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
You know, I wonder how she's going to handle that when she's older, when you're still telling that story, right?
I tell my wife she's full of poop all the time. I back it up, so.
Oh, man, right, that is a good story.
It was definitely different.
That is different. Yeah. That is very different. That's interesting. That's very interesting. So, we all make mistakes and whatever, but did you feel ready when your first daughter came?
I still don't feel ready. It feels like I just don't know girls. I mean, it's... little girls, my house, I tell my wife all the time, our house looks like, you know, a Tinkerbell farted, and there's so much glitter all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know girls and what girls do and things I would say to boys, and she's crying because, you know, it's just totally different. And
so being a football coach, you know, and then having daughters, was that, I don't know, I guess maybe a disappointment that you were hoping to have a boy, and then you had a girl, and now you don't know how to relate. You know, did you have any feelings like that? Or was there a lot of outside influence with you being a football coach, people expecting that you wanted to have a son?
I think it was some of both. I mean, being honest with myself, it was like, you know, we found out we're pregnant, we didn't know yet, so it was like, you know, here's my son, this is passed down, boy, boy, boy. Found out it was a girl, and it took a little bit to kind of say, you know what, who cares? It's
right.
I want a healthy baby. I want, you know, everything to be fine, boy, girl, whatever. You know, this is something that maybe is going to be good for me to calm me down and, you know, lower my blood pressure a little bit. You know, and it took a while to process that, to say, okay, I don't, boy, girl, whatever, I'm fine with it. You know, we have our baby. This is ours. But the initial part, I mean, it was just basically selfish, and, you know, everybody else around you got to have that strapping young boy to carry on who you are and what you do, carry on their last name, and just all those old stereotypes.
It seems like there's a lot of women that get that, too, that, you know, they assume they want that girl to be dressed in pink and, and all that, but not, you know, that's not the case for everybody.
Yeah, right. My wife had a field day. She's into the princessy, you know, all that, so it was right up her alley.
Okay.
And that really helped, us being, like, total opposites. As far as that goes, you know, she can keep her the princessy where, you know, I can see her running down the hall and I'll tackle her to the ground and we can roughhouse. You know, just really
with
that balance.
So with it being the princessy thing, is that stuff that, you know, she gravitated to, or are both the, well, and you may not, may not know, but the twins, but do they both really into the girls? Are they into the princess thing, or is the boy into it because the girls are too, or how's that going?
The older one is definitely into the princessy stuff. We went to Disney, and it was just mind-blowing, getting your hair done and all that. The younger one, she likes dresses, she likes the shoes, carrying a purse, but she's still, like, I mean, there's some spitfire boy in her that you know, she'll see sister walking down the hall and trip her and laugh at her and punch her in the face, you know. Wow. And then Theo runs around and, you know, it's mostly girls' toys in her house, so he'll pick up a purse and run around with it, but he'll also run and smack them in the face. So, you know,
it's got a lot of sibling rivalry going on there.
It's, it's like Thunderdome in my house.
Oh, boy.
It's nonstop. But it's a good bond.
That's good.
Yeah.
And they're really close, I'd imagine. I bet they would do anything for each other is what it's sounding like, too.
You know, Theo was crying yesterday, and Lily pulled him up on the couch and decided to read a story to him for the first time. I mean, it's things like that, you know, he settled right in, calmed right down. They snuggled up with a blanket, and, you know.
That's really cool to see when siblings take care of each other like that.
Yeah, and they're really starting to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, so kind of going along with that, and you mentioned earlier about trying to figure out when it was the right time to have kids. You were saying, you know, having the right stable job or whatever. And I know you talked to us a little bit, or you talked to us off the microphone, I think, remembering back about before you were a teacher, you were a bouncer too. Yep. So, like, has that kind of changed anything for you, thinking about now you have girls and you were a bouncer at a club, or even your son, you know, because you've seen that side of it, or, you know, either side, whatever. I mean, how has that played a role? How did that work when you were going to have, you know, children? And what made you decide to change, you know, career paths? Or was it just something that just kind of happened because you got a football coach and then stuff other kind of evolved from that? So basically, I guess the first question is, you know, how do you handle being in that bar and club scene for 6 years? I think you said to us how does that relate to having your children and in the future, I guess, of your children from both the male and female perspective?
It's funny because that's kind of the way I met my wife. You know, I was working, she was at the club, and some guy decided to reach up under her skirt and grab her. So I walked over as nice as I am and really explained to him in a bad way that that's unacceptable and won't be tolerated. And, you know, he kind of removed himself through the doors and walls and whatever else came up. So he understood. And that's just something I've always been about. You know, you don't put your hands on women. You don't, you know, degrade them, stuff like that. So, seeing what these young girls are doing in the club and just, you know, making my skin crawl, just, you know, trying to teach my kids better. Make them understand what, you know, expectations are, that, you know, just to be that better person. And if that's, you know, people's walk of life, you know, more power to them, but I don't want that for my kids.
Right. No, you know. Totally. So it sounds like you've been there and you're going to try and start. You're starting to, like, already think about what it was that can help change that process. Because if it were me, I mean, that would be tough. I mean, I'm a musician, so I played in many different venues, you know, nightclubs or bars or whatever. And I've seen, especially lately, more and more the blatant disrespect on both sides, even.
Yeah.
And I think with technology, it's even worse. So it's a scary thing out there. And how am I going to process and handle it? I don't know. I guess I'm going to look to people that have older children that are going to go through it before me and ask a lot of advice. You know, I'm not afraid to ask, and that's why hopefully what we're doing here will help some people too, and maybe get some advice too. But yeah, that's gotta be a scary thing to know that, you know, I mean, you've seen that other side of it, to know that, well, and I know it's a few years off, and in a few years that could be, not happen, but I mean, they're going to be in those situations where we got to educate and let people know.
It's a few years off, but I really believe it, you know, it's just starting now when they're young, you know, given the solid base, this is, you know, what family should be. This is the way you should act. This is the way you should conduct yourself.
Right.
You know, I think the earlier you start, the better it is. If you're waiting until the kids start to understand stuff, it's too late.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's really
so just by setting an example of how to respect people.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's just making them understand that you're going to be a good person no matter what.
And right.
Yeah. And you've mentioned family and how the importance of family and bond is. And I know Matt and I have talked, and I think you've listened to the other episodes.
So yes.
You've heard ours, and then you heard the one that I talked about. We're both very, I know I can speak, we're very strong family oriented and family and rooted. And how does that kind of translate? And then I guess, how do you guys, being so busy, is there like a division? Do you have jobs? She has jobs to help get things going? Or is it just kind of no holds barred? You know, sometimes people with no organization get everything done because there's just they work on that adrenaline. How does that work for you guys?
With us, it's just whatever needs to be done, we just kind of take care of. I tend to do the laundry more. Mm-hmm. When I get home, I'll cook and clean. You know, she does most of the cleaning, to be honest. But, you know, I'll take care of the dishes. We'll cook dinner. She's a vegetarian. I'm not. So a lot of times it's trying to
figure out
what we're going to get her to them to make mm-hmm. it so the kids will eat, because, you know, Lily's a very picky eater.
Okay.
The twins aren't so much right now. They're starting to get that way. But, you know, if it's not a white carb, Lily won't eat it. So just trying to figure out how to make everything melt into kind of that. I cut the grass. It's just, we kind of just do what needs to be done.
It sounds like you tag team a lot of things.
Yeah,
just
kind
of do it together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You yeah. know, and like, it's just having that great partner that understands that. And,
yeah.
you know, she's not hounding me to take out the trash. It just gets done.
Playing into each other's strengths and weaknesses, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it works for us. You know, I'm better at other things, and my wife is better at other things, and it just kind of happens and works out, too.
Yep. So. It's the only way to make it work. I think if you've got defined jobs and stuff like that, it's just eventually there's going to be some, you know, hidden hostilities and stuff that'll come out.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. It's tough. I know, you know, it's just got to get the things done. And I think that's just kind of what happens with parents, is just get it done. And I never really understood it myself, it's a full-time job. And I think we've kind of hit that quite a few times. So, what do you guys do? You know, how do you spend family time together? I know, like you said, you're really involved with family and rooted in family. And, and family is important, it sounds like. What is your guys' kind of thing? How do you get the family together on a weekly basis so you're just not, you know, they're not, I don't think they're at the age yet where they're getting on phones and going into different rooms, but how do you keep them all together? And, you know, what do you guys do to keep that family bond together?
We make sure, you know, some nights are later than others for me, but we make sure we eat dinner pretty much every night at the table together.
Okay.
It's, you know, us together, this is our time to converse about what happened in the day. You know, mm-hmm. the twins aren't there yet, but still asking Lily,
right.
making her converse without distractions of TV. If she knows I'm going to be late that night, she'll give them a stack and push back dinner a little bit. You know,
okay, so you kind of treat dinner as like that sacred time. That's
our time. Weekends, it's always breakfast together, as many nice. Meals as we can pack in when I'm actually there. You know, a lot of times doing so many different things, it's running around, but just making sure we at least have that one, you know, solid time together, I think is big. And then, you know, the non-meal times, it's just playing, it's interacting with the kids, you know, and I try to rotate through the kids to make sure it's not always one, because one usually takes the focus. So it's making sure each kid, you know, leaves whatever situation we're in, you know, kind of feeling emotionally satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough some days. Some need a little bit more attention than the others.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine, especially with having three.
Yeah.
And then you've got the two that are the twins, so it's almost like they're a package deal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If I'm wrestling around with Lily, the other two are jumping in, but she still wants that focus, so it's figuring out how to distract them for a little bit to, you know, give her that attention. You know, so we try to do special things, have daddy-daughter day, or, you know, mommy-daughter, where we just kind of take her out, give her that
that's cool.
little bit extra that she needs, because she is missing out just having the two younger ones. As it gets older, I think it'll balance out more.
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
being
once
so
she
young.
Gets into school, then there'll be a focus on her with school while the other ones haven't entered school yet.
And they'll be able, you know, once they get a little more self-supportive too, you know, without the diapers and be able to feed themselves, I think it'll mm-hmm. be, it'll get a little bit better. So she had a tough year and a half. We took her to Disney World over spring break or winter break this year.
Okay.
Just us, my parents and her parents, you know, kind of watched the twins for the week. So it was just one of those magical things. Say, hey, we know you've been good for a year and a half. You put up with a lot. You know, thank you for all you do. This is your reward.
That's cool.
Nice.
Yeah. And it was a great week.
And I bet that was super magical for her.
It was unbelievable.
Did you stay on Disney properties?
Yeah, we stayed at one of the Disney resorts. We hit every park. We were sun up to sundown every day. Just rode her ragged, but she loved every second and just couldn't.
Did she have a favorite between either like Epcot or the
Magic
Kingdom? Or?
At her age, it was so hard because every place she was meeting a princess, it was something new. It was, you know, I call it first. It's all these first moments that she was having no matter what, and she just got wrapped up. So it just was like one big park. One big adventure for her.
It just was a big mind explosion for a whole week. Yeah.
The look on her face when we walked in and she saw Cinderella's castle for the first time was like, this is what I've been waiting for my whole life. This is it.
So that's got to probably make you feel good too. You know, I've always been, I'm excited for the day that I get to see it through my kids' eyes. You know, I've always loved it as even as an adult. I think one of our first trips my wife and I took was to Disney. But I mean, I'm so excited to see it through my kids' eyes. And you've done that. Have you done that, Matt? Have you guys gone yet?
When we were in Japan, we went to Tokyo Disneyland for a day. And I mean, our kids were a little bit younger when we went, and that was magical. Yeah. We just did the Magic Kingdom, only pretty much in Fantasyland with all the little kid rides and teacups and all that. And yeah, their minds were blown.
Right.
And to see it through their kids' eyes, like you said, was like pretty cool.
Right.
I got the double. I've never been there. My wife's never been. So it was like seeing through her eyes, me just in absolute amazement, walking by some of these massive roller coasters and my little 4-year-old daughter saying, "Daddy, let's go."
Yeah.
You know, it just, no fear in that. Just, you know, just it was an absolutely incredible week.
I find that that's one place that no matter how, you know, it's really easy to like crab on Disney and be like, oh, that place is. But once you're there, like it is so cool that if you go to Disney World and you don't like it, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, I know. I never understood that people won't go or won't take their kids. And you know, there's some, maybe there's something rooted there, but man, it's just, like you said, there's all, even as an adult going, you know, even after the third time or second time or how many times I've been there, it's always exciting and new. And
my parents are in their 60s and they just went, I think 2 years ago, and they had a blast. My mom still says it's her favorite place.
Yeah. It's so big and so vast that you're always going to see something new.
It's changing all the time.
It's incredible.
Yeah, that's definitely, you know, a fun experience and a fun trip. So how did you handle it? I mean, I'm sure you walk into these places and I want to go get my hair done, or I want to, because I know they do that stuff, the princess stuff, right? Where they do that. I want to do this, I want that. How did that overload happen, help for you?
It was really good because my wife had it structured. We were down to the minute. We're going to go here. We're going to eat there.
So busy.
Oh, yeah. Just we kept her so, you know, just going so fast and so hard that she never really had time to, like, start complaining about things. Mm-hmm. You know, there was always quick meal, whatever, snacks, so she's always had food, so it was just go, you know, standing in line, even that, we just find ways to entertain her. And what are you going to ask this princess, what are you going to, just to keep her moving forward in her mind, to never get bored, never get tired. You know, and she would, we would wake up at 7 o'clock at night, and there was a couple nights we were out till midnight, and she was
so
7 to midnight, huh?
We drove down there, so it was like a 22-hour drive, and she slept maybe an hour.
Wow.
She was just so juiced
so
up.
So excited.
Nonstop talking. It was rough. But she was just a trooper, and just that pure enjoyment just fed me. So, you know, I just, let's go. I'm tired. I'm hurting, but I'm old and cranky, but this is fun.
Yeah. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, that sounds like that'd be a fun. That's a fun thing. I'm looking forward to doing something like that down the road, too. So it's really nice to hear the good experience that you had there with that. So I know fall time.
Yes.
Fall. I experience this too, man. I get it. I get it because I, you know, I'm a band teacher and I'm a marching band teacher and I get it. I'm not home a lot, and I'm sure you know you just as much, if not more. And how does that work out at home? And how does that work out for, you know, your time for you and your wife? We didn't even really touch on that yet. I mean, how do you find time for each of you individual, you know, as a couple outside of the family? Because I think we all agree that that's really important.
Yes. And then as individuals,
and then how do you manage that time in that busy season? I mean, I know you got to the playoffs here in Michigan, so that made it even longer for you. So how does that all play into that? I mean, you can kind of pick it one at a time, or however you want to hit that.
As far as our time as a couple, it's few and far between. You know, our right now, with having young kids and not always having babysitters, our hour and a half at night, just laying in bed watching TV, just talking. You know, that's doing a really good job. Every once in a great while, you know, one of our parents will be able to babysit and come over, give us an evening out. But, you know, it's very few and far between right now. But, you know, what we do, and we try to pack as much in as we can to those, you know, late night little kind of TV watchings and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as the fall goes, that's, like I said, she's a superstar. And I couldn't do what I did. If she told me that I just can't handle this anymore, I'd step down and I'd quit. But, you know, she's a big football fan. She hates the time away, but she likes bringing the kids up to Friday night games. She likes, you know, having them experience that atmosphere. She, you know, she likes is just to go there and socialize. It's her way to get out, even though the kids are there. But with our kind of community that we have, people are coming up and always holding the kids, taking them, giving her a break here and there. Mm-hmm. You know, it kind of works because, you know, she kind of turned into a fan. She was a big hockey fan, never a big football fan. We kind of converted her over, and now she kind of loves it, you know.
That's good.
Yeah. And Friday night football can be a pretty magical thing.
Oh, definitely.
Especially as a little kid, you know your dad's out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you get to stand from the sidelines.
After the games, kids are crawling around in the middle of the field when everybody's off. You know, they're running around. Or, you know, we got some TV news out a couple years ago, and, you know, doing interviews, they get to see me on TV, and just the look on their faces when, you know, it's not Mickey Mouse, that's Daddy. This is me.
Dad's on
not Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah.
So we, by the way, we do not get any sort of kickback for mentioning Disney about seven times today now.
It'd be nice. I got another trip coming up with the twins.
It would be nice. Maybe somebody's listening, but we do not get any kickback. Maybe there'll be a sponsor someday. Yeah. One
not
can hold.
Anyways.
But anyways.
No, it's definitely. And it's cool for me to watch, you know, watch Lily pick up a football and just run around with her friends. You know, most of my coaches have young kids. My offensive line coach has five kids, and and they're all, you know, from, I think the oldest one's like 14 or 15 down to a year and a half.
Wow.
So, you know, it's just...
It's a full house.
Yeah, it's us as a, you know, as a family of, you know, coaches, teachers, you know, people around coming out and just enjoying each other's company.
That's great.
I think it's really big.
Yeah.
It's big.
Yeah, my uncle, he was a football coach up in the Lansing area, and I remember a few times when we were young, we went up to a football game, and it was just pretty neat. You get to see Uncle Jim down at the field. And
And luckily we're winning, so, you know, they don't get to hear all the people yelling at me and stuff. So that always helps.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a part of it. I know you from there, so you're really well respected in the community, which is that's a good thing. So, and it's nice too, you know, kind of, you know, speaking of that, I do see, you know, from my outside standpoint looking in, it's good for those kids to see the support that your family brings
your students
to have.
Is that what you mean?
Not your kids, but I'm saying that the kids of the students and your teammate, your players, to see how important the family time is for you, and to see that positive role model and see that they're there at all the games and kind of have that. I mean, that's kind of neat. I mean, do you translate a lot of your father experience into that, or do you get some of your father? Did you get some of your father experience from that? Do you use things that you maybe learned in coaching, or vice versa?
I think 100%. I mean, what, you know, doing this since 1996, and just I think I've taken a lot from. We've had every walk of life kid come through in just every situation. I think it's helped me become a great father. Learning from my father, my dad comes to practices randomly during the week to yell at the kids. He sits there with my son after games as the kids are walking in the locker room and stops every single one of those kids and makes him high five my son. Mm-hmm. And my son loves it. He's eating it up. But, you know, I think it's good for these kids to say, hey, look at this. This is what we can be, you know, no matter where we come from, what, you know, my parents' situations is, this is what I can strive to do. And I just think it's huge because, you know, I've learned a lot from my father. I've learned a lot from coaches I've had being father figures. You know, it just every kid that comes through is somebody different that just makes me a better person. And I'm able to translate that into my own kids, and I think it's going to make them better for it.
And I imagine even before you had kids, you've probably maybe been a father figure to some kids that you've coached.
Quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get kids from other schools that I coach that come into our practice now at the new school and stopping in to say hi. I mean, half our coaching staff I've coached, you know, throughout their point in time. I get texts and calls and Christmas wishes and, you know, birth and all. It's just, and that's what I want. I don't want it to be like, okay, you're done, don't talk to me again. I want kids 30 years from now bringing their families in, you know, showing me their kids, showing me their job, showing me their success.
That's pretty remarkable.
You know, and that's just my goal as a coach and a person, is to be able to pay it back.
Right. I imagine you get that a lot too, being in your position.
Yeah, you know, in the band field, it's very similar. Yeah. I mean, I think that's why I'm lucky. And if we didn't mention it, I think we did. Gary and I work together. Gary's a football coach, and I'm currently the assistant marching band director at the school. And it's a very positive relationship that we've built and tried to foster. A lot of times you hear band versus football. Yep. And it's not football versus band all the time. It's band versus football or football versus band. And you hear that on both ends, depending on what kind of school district you're in. Mm-hmm. And we're very, very lucky that we're lucky that we have a great relationship, and it's not that. We have a coach that allows those students to march in the halftime, and vice versa. We don't, as a band director, we don't stop that either. So it's a great relationship. They see us work well together, which I think also kind of lends for them too, that they see that, you know, it's two different things, but yet we're working to the same goal.
Right. And it's not one or the
other. We're there to support each other. You know, he'll bring his players to concerts, just like we have the kids at the football games. So,
yep.
And I think they see that as us as adults. And I think it's a cool thing to see that relationship that, you know, it's great to support each other when, you know, to be one team rather than two separate teams and one thing better than the other. And like you said, yeah, I get it a lot. It's very rewarding too, to help out a lot of students, you know, from any walk of life that may need help, yep. You know, even, you know, the ones that you don't think that might need something, they come to you. So it's very rewarding, because I think you're playing with music, you're playing something that plays and you're expressing emotion. So it opens up. And I think with football, it's a very similar thing too. If you look at it, cause you're playing on emotions, whether it's a different type of emotion, but you're putting all that emotion out yep. there and expressing that emotion. So I think, yeah, it's very similar in that we get a lot of kids, and it's nice that we have a lot of overlapping, because then something that may be working for him, you know, I can go to him and say, hey, what's going on, and how do you get through to the student, or vice versa. It's happened
right,
for us.
Yeah.
So, and I think a lot of that is also translated for me as a parent too. You know, I've seen not everything's going to work, and you have to be able to change and adapt.
Yep. Yeah, change and adapt, step outside your comfort zone.
Always.
What I thought about being a dad was probably 1% of what I do now. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, it's, yeah. And I don't know if you guys agree, but I mean, those things that I read about in books, they're out the window, which is why I think we need to have more of these type of things, because, you know, there might be something that somebody listens to and say, well, that person's gone through it, and then maybe I can. You know, I think it's a good thing. I think it's great. So
I read a book about raising twins and what to expect, and I read that book, and I was so amped up. And looking back, it's garbage. I got more information than talking to friends with twins, and
right.
You know, and that helped me a lot more than some guy writing a sterile book that really, oh, cool. It's very general, but you know, I want to know, how do you put two kids to sleep when one's crying, one's, you know, dirty diaper, one's hungry. It's figuring out ways to make it work, find those systems.
So if somebody does need to reach out or do something, what's your advice to do to go into that? Is there support systems out there? I know there's books, and we've talked about there's books and there's things like that, but were there things out there that you can go to that you've sought after, or things that you've found that have helped you with this, that you can get more information? And I'm sure a lot of it's just trial and error, but where have you gone, you know, to get more information?
I worked with a couple of people that both had twins. One was, you know, a set of same-sex twins. One was a boy-girl twin, so that really helped talking to them. My wife found a group on Facebook of, you know, moms with multiple kids, and that really helped her, because she didn't have, you know, this is a different kind of relationship. She didn't have that friend system set up. And then as we progressed, one of her, you know, friends she used to work with ended up having twins, so now they're able to discuss and talk. Her aunt had twin girls. So, you know, just finding people, I think, with experience more so than, you know, some dude you don't know down the street that's writing a book where, you know, you know these people, you know what they're like, what worked for you, what didn't, you know, how can I spin this into my life, because my life's going to be different than theirs. You know, it's just taking little bits, and it's kind of what we do with football. I take a little bit from here, a little bit from there, you know, smash it together and make it work for us.
Right.
And it's always going to be different.
So kind of do what works for you, lot of trial and error.
Oh, yeah. Don't be afraid to try.
Mm-hmm. Now, having the twins, you said they're a year and a half now. Has there been, you know, a particular, you know, win that you were super struggling with and you finally got it, and you're like, we're high-fiving each other, like, yes, we finally mastered this, or has that not happened yet?
It was getting that routine down, that bedtime routine. Okay, Lily goes to bed at 7:30. She gets her little sip of milk. Babies get their bottles, you know, we get them changed, get them pajamas on, they get their bottles, you know, and it's going into that room at the same time with both of us, you know, being able to get switching off every night, who's going to hold who, getting that one-on-one interaction with the babies and just making that routine sit. So, okay, they're going to bed, this is it. They might be crying in another room, but eventually they're going to kind of soothe each other out and just like fighting that temptation to, okay, you know, we got to make this better, because if I go in there for Theo, it's going to wake up Violet, and now we're back in the same spot. So I think as a win, just us coming up with what works for us and not killing each other, I think it's just an absolute huge win.
You're right.
Yeah. No, that
you're both still on the same team after all this.
And there's some trying times, and there's some really dark times, and you know, but we just try to always spin it back to, hey, we got to do this together because there's no way one of us can do this. Mm-hmm. It just can't happen.
You mentioned a little bit about, you know, sleep and waking up. The other one I brought me to thinking. Do they both have does the same thing work for both of the twins, like as far as going to sleep? Or I know you mentioned earlier that they can't be without one or the other,
yeah.
But does one need something different than the other? How does that work? And especially being in the same room, the same exact age, and obviously they're sensing something. I know, you know, that you always hear about the twin sensing, yeah. And I've never been really around twins.
To it.
So there's something to it.
Oh yeah.
But them knowing that, I mean, how do you deal with that?
They're like totally different personalities. Violet's very stoic. Theo's happy-go-lucky. But Violet will tell you, it's Nunnite time. She's starting to talk a little bit now, Nunnite, and she'll start pointing to her room. She knows it's time for bed. Mm-hmm. And Theo's just got a big smile on his face, and you know he'll go along with it. But he's able now that if she wants to go to bed, he'll sit there and he'll play with his stuffed animals in his crib. He'll soothe mm-hmm. himself and kind of talk to himself while she just passes right out. I mean, okay. she's really an easy sleeper. And it's just their personalities working together to make it work. Mm-hmm. You know, if she gets up before him, she's very concerned. She wants him up because if I'm up, you need to be awake.
Right.
So we got to kind of pull her away from his crib until, you know, he's ready to go.
Right.
So she wants that partner in crime all the time.
Yeah. Okay. And they're up to no good and they're going to let you know about it.
Mm-hmm. How did you guys deal with them? With sleep, I mean, I'm assuming it was different with the twins and your older daughter. But did you know? We talked a little bit on the last episode about for those of you that didn't listen, we talked about crying it out versus not crying it out, and Matt discussed his experience with it, and I discussed what happened to us with that. And I don't know if it's a hot button or maybe it's a hot button for me right now because I have an infant. But what worked for you guys? I mean, how did you deal with sleep?
It was different when I, you know, first couple of weeks when I was off work, you know, we'd wake up or alternate whatever we needed to do. When I went back to work, my wife would do as much as she could until, you know, if both babies are screaming, crying, she can't get them, she'd sit there and punch me in the head until I got up to go help. And, mm-hmm. you know, we'd get them settled down enough where, you know, just try to make it work. She tried to do everything in her power to help me out. And some days I think she did a lot more than she should because, you know, she was working herself to exhaustion. But just that, you know, her wanting me to be successful in my work and be able to get rested, and, you know, she sacrificed her body and herself to do this, which is just something that, you know, I never told her enough that I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And that's something I wish I would have done more. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, she really went above and beyond to really go. Now it's, you know, with the babies being up, they just kind of shut the door, let them cry. They'll eventually go.
Okay.
You know, they've been pretty good with that.
Yeah. So for you, the letting them cry hasn't been that traumatic of an experience?
For me, no. For her, it's rough. I mean, mm-hmm. I know there's nights she'll sit there and stare at the monitor and just, you know, it's killing her to go. For me, I just you know, turn it down a little bit so I can hear it and roll over to the other side.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You know.
Yeah, no, that's more power to you. I couldn't do it. I tried.
It's, you know, different circumstances with each kid, you know.
Right, no, you're absolutely.
Every little thing, you know, they're good. They're, you know.
No,
I know
absolutely.
They're just doing it because they're overtired or whatever.
Right.
So, you know,
and that's what I think. We, you know, I Matt and I agree too. I know when we talked about it, it's great. I wish I could do it. I mean, I wish I could let it go and let them. Yeah. But I couldn't do it. But it's more power to the people that can. You know, like you guys that stuck with it, because I know I've read about it and I've done a lot of research on it, and it is successful for people. It just depends on how you can handle it.
To each their own, you know. Every kid's going to be different. And I'm sure if there was a health problem with one of our kids, it would be totally different, you know, with your situation. Or, you know, that would probably make me a lot more concerned, make me over the top. You know, it's how you look at it, perspective on what is actually going on.
Right. No, totally.
And every kid's going to be different.
Totally. Well, I have one more thing here, and I don't know if Matt has anything else, but you know, we kind of talked, and he kind of talked about a big success. So I'm not going to go into that. What was your big success? And you kind of explained that. Is there anything out there that you like can deem as like a big fail or something that you, man, just kind of facepalm? Oh my gosh, that happened, and you know, how did you work through it, or how do you avoid that?
Fails are tough. I don't know. I think there's a lot of fails. I mean, I take it as me not being home is enough, or you know, spending those extra time, that's a fail to me, where, you know, and that's more internalized in me, just not being able to spend more time.
Right.
But like overall, we put in a new garage door, and we had a garage door code, and she said, why don't you make it the kids' birthdays or something like that? And I totally spaced out and put in the wrong code, and she's sitting outside, like, I'm putting in their birthdays, how come it's not working? Okay, let's change it to something else, because I forgot. So, you know, it's just things like that.
Little things like that.
Little things.
But it's more the time, I think, is the big fail, and I wish I could do more, but, you know, it's just as they progress, we'll try to make it work better, and it's figuring out.
But hearing how you operate as a family, that time away doesn't sound like a fail. That it sounds like you really are making the most of the time that you do have. So in a way, that's like a big win.
Yeah, it's a win, but it's still that fail to me. Like, okay, I'm here another 15 minutes for this kid, but I should be home. And, you know, it's just something personal that I gotta work through as they go. You know, and it's just more mental for me. You know.
Yeah. No. That's always tough, and I think that's a demon that I battle with a lot too, is just being home. And you know, I talked to Matt about it, and I know what he does is not easy, and it's not television and watching movies like I think a lot of dads think.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I envy that. I've been busy the last few weeks myself and home real late, and God, it crushes me. Yeah. It crushes me when I'm gone and I get home. I believe when my daughter and my wife are asleep and I get home and they're both asleep, and it's like, man, just to see them awake, it's like you don't realize what you don't have or what you have until you don't really have it. And it's not that it's gone, but having 3 weeks in a row not having even though my daughter doesn't speak, not having a conversation or an interaction with her without sleeping.
It's a long time, it's crushing.
And you know, it's managing that time is hard. Yep. So it's
and
like,
I see that, and I'll go, you know, 2-3 weeks where I'm very, you know, little at home, and then I'll get a Saturday where Tiffany wants to go out, and after like 3 or 4 hours of me being home alone, I'm not adapted for that, and I just how you do it, I give you a ton of credit, because
thank you.
I've got them tomorrow all by myself, and it's a rough long day for me.
It can be a rough long day,
you know, and my patience level just isn't what it should be to do that, and it just, you know, my hat's totally off to you to be able to do that. I don't know if I could do that day in and day out.
Yeah, I don't know if I could either, but I think it's very commendable
to
be able to do that stuff too, because I, you know, like I said, I want to be home as much as possible, and it just doesn't work for me. But
We've just started week 2 of spring break, and I'm very glad to be out of the house.
So right now you're excited to be spending time with us. Huh?
Yeah. Do we need to record another episode?
We need to do another one right now. It's definitely a thing. So is there anything else last that
I do have one question, and it's about the twin connection.
Sure.
You always hear those stories about, you know, there's a twin in Egypt that burns her hand and the other twins in Michigan and they feel the pain. Have you had them experience anything remotely similar to that weird cosmic connection?
I don't, like, you know, Thea'll be in the living room with me and we'll be playing and tickling them, and Violet will be just like in a room by herself, and all of a sudden she'll just start laughing and giggling right along, you know. I know when I'm tickling, I know when I'm not, and she's doing the same kind of laugh. So it's like little things like that, that weird, oddly...
It makes you kind of wonder if she feels it or she just hears
there's
it.
Something, or just the way they can, like, converge on Lily at the same time and, like, just kind of know what each other's thinking without even saying anything. Mm-hmm. There's just little things. I'm sure I'll probably see more and more as they get older, but there's definitely something going on back and forth through their brain. I don't know what it is, but it's
definitely something.
There's something to that.
That's
cool. It's really neat, and I'm so glad I get to experience that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot of extra work, but it's been fun.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we appreciate you coming on and spending time with us and on our third episode. So, you know, hopefully that people out there got something out of this today. I know I got a lot out of it, and it was great having you. If you have anything you want to share with us, the listeners out there, you can always go. We do have a Facebook group now, The Dad Experience. You can look for that. Just search The Dad Experience. It's a public page. Post your comments, concerns, Also, give a chance and take a minute and give us some feedback on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts at, and rate us and give us the good, the bad, whatever you want to share with us. We'd love to hear from you. And also, likewise, you can email us experienceanddad@gmail.com. I'm on Twitter at Adam Busatel, and as always, check out Matt's blog. You can find him at you want to tell him the site.
It's the good, the dad, and the baby.
The good, the dad, and the baby. So and then like I said, if you got questions for Gary here or us, or if you have an idea for a show, or if you yourself want to be on one of the episodes coming up, we'd definitely love to hear from you or have you, and or even have a show idea. So thank you so much, Gary, for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you spending some time and taking some time out to talk to us. And Matt, as always, we will see you on the next episode, and looking forward to continuing this on some more. So
sounds
thank
great.
You so much for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode.